Well, we've just completed a 12-week topic-by-topic series on the Book of Romans. If you want to catch them again, you can go to the website, faithquestradio.com, and get them there, faithquestradio.com. I will also be putting them in two albums. And so, CD albums, if you'd like those, simply write to me and request them for a donation at P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. They're not ready yet. They won't be ready till the end of the year, but I will let you know about them in the future. But you can get your name on the list if you like. Now, we're moving towards another theme. Oh, boy. I don't like doing this theme, but it's my story. Who am I? Well, this is Colin Cook, and this is How It Happens. You'll find out in a bit how it happens, how the gospel happens, how good news comes to us through Jesus Christ, and how we train our faith. I don't like giving my story because it's not a success story. You know how testimonies are supposed to be. That's what we used to call them years ago. Testimonies. Testimonies about a changed life. Once I was this, now I'm that. Once I was a real washout, now I'm cleansed and purified and all the rest of it. I really don't like giving that story. At my age, I look back and I can tell you that I think I'm a royal screw-up. And I'm not saying that in any false humility. I think that's how it would be assessed. I lost the ministry. Then, years later, I lost the counseling ministry, all as a result of my sexual sins. And then I lost my marriage. And yet, I think yet, there is a yet here. Yet, I still hang on to Jesus and still believe in him and still have faith in him. So, the story really isn't about success, a before and after story. It's really a story about clinging to Jesus when all is lost. I choose to tell this story periodically. I don't think I've told it for several years now, because I believe it illustrates for you how you can hang on even though you feel that you have lost everything, or that you're a loser, or that you're a screw-up like me. Well, the good news about being a royal screw-up, you know how we use the word royal in the sense of somebody who has done some glaringly stupid things in his life. That's me. But I and you are a royal screw-up in the sense, too, that we are royal. We're children of the king. I'm a child of the king. And no matter how terrible and broken and foolish my life has been, the Lord has had mercy upon me. And so, really, the story of my life is not the story about me, the before and after story, that this is what I was and now I'm this. It is rather the story of Jesus and his mercy. What I am proud of, if I can be proud of anything, is that God still cares for me. God still loves me. God has had mercy upon me. He is my heavenly Father, and he has revealed himself to me in his Son. The real message of my story is Jesus. The fact that Jesus has become my righteousness. I personally don't like not only who I was, but who I am. Still, I want you not to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't really like my humanity, but I don't wring my hands over it anymore. I don't live in anguish over my humanity, but I simply accept what Jesus has said, that and the Father, and of course Paul in Romans, especially chapter 5, that our humanity is finished at the cross of Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus is special to me is not that now he has made me whole, whereas before I was broken, but rather that now I see that Jesus is my righteousness forever. I'm a sinner, but I'm a saint. I'm a sinner and a saint at the same time, as Martin Luther would say, and I believe that that's how all men and women are. This story, therefore, is not to prove, hey, if you're broken down, you can do it, and you can be freed, and you can be saved, and you can be purified, and you can be an overcomer like me. That's not the message I want to convey. The message I want to convey is whether you're broken down or not, Jesus is for you as you trust in him. He is your righteousness as you trust in him. Now, this doesn't mean to say there aren't victories and haven't been victories in my life. Of course there have, and thanks be to God for that. I wouldn't be at this mic talking to you if that were not the case. But, you know, the victories are paltry. They really are piddling and insignificant. They are a little candle in the presence of the glorious sunshine of Jesus' life to me. That's what I somehow would like to convey to you. I believe that I'm talking to men and women who, many of whom are at rock bottom, many of whom have lost all hope in accomplishing anything in this life, many of whom have seen their dreams completely crushed by their own foolishness, their own sins, just like me. But Jesus is our life. Jesus has become our righteousness. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So, I don't know whether you'll be put off by my story. I mean, some of you will, and some of you will find it outrageous or disgusting or contemptuous. Well, I'm sorry, that's who I am. That's who Jesus is for me. But some of you will find hope in my story, and I'm glad of that, because my story, as I said earlier, is not really about me, but really about Jesus. And I am simply an illustration of how he works for sinners. Well, let's see, where shall I start? I know where I have to start. In good old Grimsby, back there in England. Grimsby, what a grim name. I don't even like the name of my city. But I can sort of glorify it a little bit by putting a few additions to it. Grimm was a Danish sea robber in about the 12th century. I can't remember whether he... Well, I think he robbed the ships. He was a pirate, you know, and I can't remember whether he robbed the ships going from England to Denmark or the other way round. But anyway, he settled, I think he settled in an area just around what is now Grimsby. His name was Grimm, and the Danish name for a town is By, B-Y, Grimsby, Grimsby. So this was Grimstown. And I was born in 1940. That was during the Second World War. Grimsby is a fishing town. It's right at the mouth of the Humber, a large estuary that flows into the North Sea, overlooking the continent of Europe. And Grimsby, that fishing town, being that estuary, was very, very convenient for the Nazis during the Second World War to lay mines there in order to stop the shipping from coming into port and supplying food and supplies for England during the time that the Nazis were trying to starve us out. I was just a little baby then. I didn't remember anything, of course, about it. My dad was an acting lieutenant during the Second World War. That is to say, he was previously the skipper of a ship, a fishing vessel, and these fishing vessels were, oh, I don't know how big they were, but they had 17 men, 17 to 20 men aboard, and they would go away for 10 days out of 12, you know, to fish. So it wasn't just local fishing, it wasn't rod and line fishing, it wasn't, there's a name for another kind of fishing that's just daily fishing. My dad and his crew would go out for 10 days at a time, and then come back for two, and then go again for another 10. It was a rough life. In fact, the fishing industry was considered to be the most dangerous industry in England, even more dangerous than coal mining. The North Sea is noted for its violent gales and storms, and many a time a whole ship would go down and all crew would be lost. And dear Mom, I remember her being nervous on a number of occasions whether it was Dad's ship that had gone down this time or not. Anyway, during the Second World War, those ships were, what's the word, recommissioned, I think, to be minesweepers. They were all fitted out in such a way as they could sweep the Humber River there of mines, of Nazi-placed mines. So that's what my dad did during the Second World War. My mom told me that my dad said, well, when he went off to war, well, I'll see you in 6 weeks or so. It was called the Phony War then, because England declared war on Nazi Germany after Germany had invaded Poland. But nothing happened. For 6 whole weeks, there was nothing going on. And so they called it a phony war. But of course, he was gone for 5 years, 4 to 5 years. Yeah, 5 years, in fact. So Dad was sweeping the estuary of mines, a dangerous work. And thank God he came back, not in a box, but in his body, alive. So after the Second World War, my dad then returned to fishing, and the boats were then returned to their original purpose as fishing vessels. Why do I tell you that right away? Because I just want you to get a picture of life in my little town of Grimsby. It wasn't so little. There were 150,000 in that city. It's a nobody goes to Grimsby. You don't go to Grimsby to sightsee. You just bypass it. I remember talking to a lady in the south of England at one time years ago. We were just chatting in a bookstore, and we were talking about the various books, and she asked me where I came from, and I told her, and she said, oh, yes, Grimsby. Well, yes, it doesn't go anywhere, does it? She said. And, of course, it doesn't go anywhere, at least not for the tourist. You just keep going on and you end up with a splash in a rather dirty river called the Humber. Ah, yes, Grimsby didn't go anywhere, but you know, God went to Grimsby and found me. How beautiful that God goes to places that nobody else would even bother to go to find his lost sheep. I find that very encouraging and very comforting. I don't know where you come from, whether you come from a very insignificant place or a very famous place, but I'll tell you, we all come from places of no meaning, really, when it comes to God's perspective, except that the meaning is that our God has a sheep that's lost. Our Father knows where we are, and is always looking for us and seeking to find us and bring us back, even in the places that nobody bothers with. That's what encourages me. I hope it does you about this story too. It might help you to write your story, you know. I wrote mine in many journals years ago. Maybe I'll put it in a book one day. But it's worth doing to write it out, because then you trace God's hand through your life. And that is enormously encouraging. Well, I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.